I'm going to be honest with you. This is going to be tough. Friday was not a good day for me. Friday was not a good day for anybody. I went to work like normal. Began opening, doing things that needed to be done before the office opened. And I received a text from the Assemblies of God, Kentucky Assemblies of God. And they sent out a notice. I was at Living Word Ministries in Berksville before I came here. My pastor was Gary Stommel, and his wife was Vicky. And she was a sweet, godly woman. Friday, they were on their way to their daughter's college graduation. And Pastor Gary pulled out to pass someone, realized he didn't have enough room, stepped on the brakes and hit a patch of black ice. The car skidded sideways and was T-boned. And Vicky died. Their son was in the car and he suffered injuries and was flown to a UK hospital. Pastor Gary suffered minor injuries, but was later released. Excuse me. As of right now, I have no more information than what we've received. But I found myself asking God, why? Why this woman of God who's been through so much, why did you take her? A day that should have been such a joyous occasion forever will change that entire family. What should have been a joyous occasion will forever be, for my pastor, a question where he asks, why did I do it? It's my fault. A day that should have been a moment to reflect back on all of the hard work, that young lady will forever say, if only I hadn't gone to that school. They have nothing to do with it. A day which should have been reflected upon for the rest of your life as finally done will forever be etched in their memories as a day of total loss. I felt so hollow and so empty inside. And just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, then you hear about the atrocity, the tragedy in Connecticut at Sandy Hook Elementary School. I truly found myself feeling sick to my stomach. I found myself asking, what kind of animal commits such a heinous act against innocent children? What kind of person could possibly, what kind of evil is in them to even do such a heinous act? I was so angry. I found myself actually locking up. It was almost a fight or flight reaction. Well, who am I going to fight against? It's not of this world. It is the absence of Jesus Christ that allows someone to become so angry and bitter at the world that they would do something this evil. And I prayed, because that's all I could do. All day long, I couldn't even think straight. My mind kept looking, and for every child that came in that room, in that office, and they screamed and yelled and threw fits, I thought, go on, let it out, child. Thank God you're alive. And then I would reflect back to my old pastor, the turmoil, the hurt, the pain that he was going through, the emptiness. And the only thing that brought me any peace was the Word of God. This is supposed to be a time of joy. This time of the year that we have set aside to recall the birth of our Savior. This is the time that we come together and celebrate and rejoice. And Satan has tried to take that away from us. He has tried to make it something that is evil and forever will go down as something you remember as being evil. He wants you to reflect on that, not what it represents. Folks, are there any children in here? Good. To hell with the devil. To hell with him. I say no. I will not allow him to take what this holiday represents and to steal the joy of Christians across this nation. We're not going to allow it. Yes, we're hurt. And we don't understand because our mind and our total makeup is beyond that. But you know what? I found myself numb for a while. And then I started reflecting on the Word. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm going to wish people Merry Christmas. And if someone says, you mean Happy Holiday, I'm going to say, no, I mean Merry Christmas. Stand up. What's this shirt say? Keep Christ in Christmas. Absolutely. Yes. You know what? That's the problem. Is we've allowed this world to steal Christ from Christmas. We want to make it Merry, Happy Holidays. Well, Happy Holidays to you, but I say Merry Christmas. I'm tired of Satan stealing the joy of Christians. Discouragement is his greatest weapon. And I almost fell for it. But he just picked on the wrong person because now he's just made me mad. Go ahead, I'll put that extra 15 minutes of prayer in tomorrow. Go ahead, brother.
I'm finding more and more people you talk to on the telephone, not just around here, saying Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So people are tired of it too, more than you realize. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the credit card people, the stores, when you're checking on something, there's more and more of them, well, Merry Christmas to you. I've yet to check out at Walmart and say, well, Merry Christmas. So, I mean, it's out there. So.
And then if you did not hear that on the internet, he said that more and more people that he talks to on the phone and places where he checks out are saying Merry Christmas. They're not saying this Happy Holidays junk. And to them I say, praise God. It's time for Christians to stop being silenced by the immoral minority. I never said the moral majority. I said the immoral minority. It's time for us to quit allowing Satan to steal our word, our joy, our testimony. You're dealing with it every day at college, aren't you? Those who are just don't know where they're going, don't know what they believe in. I know you have to deal with it. There's professors at every college that don't know what they believe in. All they believe is, well, if I don't know, surely you don't either. But you know what? You stand on the Word of God, you will know where you stand. But there's one thing that I do know. When we are in a place of turmoil, when we are in a place where we don't know what else to do, we can call out to our Abba Father and say, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. And when we say that, Abba Father, Lord, help me, we are lifting up the greatest prayer we can ask. We're calling on the only one who can help, the only one who can bring us the peace we need in those times. Amen indeed. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 18. I was in there trying to get our printer to work properly today, and it was winning, and I was becoming more frustrated. And then I could hear them, because I'd already turned on the live streaming, I could hear them in here practicing. And I heard them start singing, In God We Still Trust. And I thought, go on with it, brother. Well, then they disappointed me because they stopped it. But I wanted to listen to it again. Because it was like, no, that's exactly it. You know what, Satan? You aren't going to win. Because in God I still trust. And you know what? You can sit here and say, you can't say Merry Christmas. And you know what I say to that? Merry Christmas. And you can sit here and you can say, look at the evil that's just corrupted this world. Yes, it has. Which is all the more reason for me to give my testimony about how good Jesus Christ is and how much we need Him in the world today. I saw it on the internet and I loved it. I wish it had been me. There was a man who made the statement, well, I'm not an atheist. I believe in a higher power, and I'm sick and tired of atheists trying to take God out of Christmas. I don't necessarily believe in Christ as the Savior, but I believe in a higher power. Christmas is about love. There was a response. Gentleman responded and he said, you know what? He said, let me tell you something. I respect your opinion. But as a child of Christ, I must tell you, it is not about love. He said, it is all about Christ. Christmas is all about Christ. And my walk is all about Christ. He said, I would be at a loss if I didn't tell you the truth. It's not about just love. It's about a sacrifice that was made for those who were unworthy and could not do it themselves. It was by the Son of God who was sent to earth in human form to die on a cross so that we could accept salvation through Him. So I'm sorry, it's not about love, it's about Christ. All I could say, yeah! Get on with your bad self. Because you know what? He wasn't mincing words. He didn't care who he offended. He decided he was going to speak for Christ. He was going to speak for God because he was tired of listening to the rhetoric about, well, you just believe in the higher power and everything's good. He wasn't willing to listen to the lies. You know what's the unfortunate side of that? It wasn't me. I didn't say it. I wish I would have. But that man, he said, oh no, let me tell you what it's really about. When are we as Christians going to stop being mealy-mouthed and allowing Satan to tell us what we can and can't do? Let me say it again. When are we going to stop allowing Satan to tell us what we can and can't do? I saw out on the Facebook all these little things that say, Jesus, where were you Why weren't you there? And Jesus said, I wanted to be, but I'm not allowed to in school anymore. You know what? Not true. You know, the comedians joke around. As long as there's tests, there'll be prayer in school. But I like it, and I paraphrase this. I saw T.D. Jakes one time, and he said, let me tell you something. And again, I paraphrase, it's not word for word, but he said, you can bust my lip. You can cut out my tongue. You can pluck my eyes from my skull, but you cannot stop me from praying. When are we as Christians going to say no more? Satan, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to listen to what God says. And you know what? I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I'm going to say God bless you. And if you don't like it, praise God all the better. I'm here to upset you and make your life miserable because you sure done it to me long enough. But I don't serve you anymore. Now I serve a risen God and I don't have to listen to your lies anymore. When are we going to get tired enough to say enough?
That's right.
Whew, boy, you should be up here. Glory to God. If you got your Bibles, Psalms chapter 18. Oh, in our times of distress. Yes.
Before you get started here, you talked about saying God bless. My wife checks out, and they may not know her name, but she's the girl that says God bless every time you check her out. They'll know her voice, and they'll know she says God bless every time when she's done. And they may not know her name or see the name tag, but they know that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be funny? How is it that they know her? Because it's so rare that people say that. Let's confuse them. Let's all start calling them up or checking out and going, God bless you. Man, what's gotten into these crazy people? Everybody's blessing God. Everybody's asking God to bless us. What's getting into them? Praise God, Jesus. Jesus is getting into them. They go from like this to suddenly, all of a sudden, that backbone starts getting stiff. They start getting bold in the Word. People be like, well, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, let me tell you what you can do. See, there's a Savior out there, and He cares about what happens to you. And if you will just call on His name, He is willing to give you your salvation. And He will give you a better life. What'd she say? A life, and that more abundantly. Well, you know, I just don't know what I would do with a life more abundant. I like being miserable. How many of us feel that way? Nobody? So you must want a life, and that more abundantly. It's through Jesus Christ. Quit giving your glory away. God has an inheritance for us. And we just allow Satan to steal it from us. I say, pick that baby up and take it with you. Guess what? God gave me this. What did He give you? Oh, you don't know Him? Oh, He's got more in store for this, but I can only carry this much right now. So if you were to hang around a while, you could see it and find out for yourself because He got some good stuff in store. Oh, and you ought to see my retirement plan. Woo! It's out of this world. Psalms 18. When you start going through difficult times, remember David. Go to the Psalms. Boy, there's some good stuff in there. David, he said, well, I'll just crawl up in this cave and die. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. He knew where his source was. How many times do we hear people say, oh, I lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. God does. God is your source, not that business, not that job. Doesn't mean times won't be difficult. But God is your source. Well, my unemployment's about to run out. Have you prayed for a job? Well, you don't know, understand the hardships. God does. Talk to Him about it. We've heard it before. We heard it right here. Brother Richard stood here and he said, the problem today with the church is they say, hey, I'm going up for my disability. Please pray for me that I'll get accepted. Hello? How about pray that you'll get healed so you can work? Oh, no, we don't want that. Jesus goes through the town, touching people. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. And you got the one bum gun who said, don't touch me. I'm getting my disability. Mm-mm. It's become an epidemic. Now, if you're on disability, don't think I'm talking about you specifically unless you got guilt over it, and then pray about it. But God doesn't want you out here walking around on a piddly government check when you could be out there glorifying Him in a workplace. You know what? 6 months ago, I couldn't even walk. And look at me today. God gave me a job. He gave me a way. And I have joy in my life again, all because of Jesus. We need to quit playing this game of poor, pitiful me. I'm just going to go up here and sit down on my little pity wagon. Oh, if somebody could just help me. I heard it today. I was listening on the radio, and they were talking, and they said, the problem is, they talked about Andrew Jackson pardoning a man who actually went and robbed a mail truck. Well, not truck, but train. Robbed a mail post office or whatever it was, and he was found guilty, and they were going to hang him. And the president of the United States, for whatever reason, decided to pardon this man. So the pardon went to the governor, and the governor said, okay, if the president pardons him, that's all we can do. And they took it to the prison where the man was being held. And they went and they informed the prison official. And he said, okay, go let him know. And they said, the president has pardoned you. You're free to go. The man looked at him and said, I don't want it. I want to be hanged. It went to the Supreme Court because the President of the United States gave this man a pardon. But the Supreme Court, John Marshall, Chief Justice, came out and said, if you are pardoned but you refuse it, it is null and void. How many people today have received a pardon through Jesus Christ, but they refuse it? That man was hanged till death. I want to tell you something. God has all the answers. He has the pardon if we will reach out and accept it. Psalms 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. What does it say? Who is what?
Worthy to be praised.
Who is worthy to be praised, Pastor? Who is what?
Worthy to be praised.
Oh, there you go. Praise God. He is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. If you get nothing else, please listen to this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. We need to cry out to our Lord. We need to know when children are being killed in the streets, when drugs take over neighborhoods, when jobs are going to foreign countries right and left, we need to cry out to God. not go up and try to get our disability or unemployment. We need to call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? That doesn't mean don't take advantage of those things. If you're truly disabled, go get it. But let it be in God's hands. Don't sit here and say, well, I deserve it. I paid into it. You know what? Let God be the judge. And let God deal with the issue. And you know what? Let God guide you. If you're out of work, you paid in that unemployment tax, that's fine. But that doesn't mean stop looking for a job. God's got something better for you than to be under the thumb of the government. What government do you choose to be under? I choose God. I believe He's got a better plan. If you are allowing the United States to be your source, you're in bad shape, folks. God is my source. God is my provider. God is the one who protects me. God is the one who gave me salvation. Why would I seek it through some other means? Let us seek our deliverance through our Savior. Look down in verse 16. What did we have back here? He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. And then down in verse 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. Boy, does this sound like right now? All the things that are going on in America today? But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. You ain't going to make it. Your daughter ain't going to make it. You going to let me get by with that? You going to get angry?
No, I don't believe the lies of the devil.
There you go, girl. Anytime he starts throwing those lies in your face, you take the word of God and say, excuse me, my Lord is my deliverer, my stronghold, my fortress. On the rock I'll stand. You stand on that because that's the only thing you got. That's the only thing worth having. God said, I'm tired of my children not knowing. Not knowing. I got a text from a friend of mine. He's now down in New Orleans, and every weekday he sends us a text, just encouraging words. And he said something the other day that hit me right between the running lights. He said, when you stand to face your God, he said, go before Him spent. Make sure everything He has given you, you have given out. Don't take anything with you. Man, that hit me hard. Am I giving everything I can give? Or am I got the mindset of a lot of government workers, and I was one for 20 years, so I know. Well, they say, I'm good enough for government work. Excuse me? You don't work for the government. You work for the Lord God Almighty. Yeah, you can render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but this is God, and it's all His. Give Him everything. Give Him what you got and give it to the end. Why? Because He's got something better. I don't want to step before my Savior in heaven. And He says, Tim, let me show you something. All this was what I had in store for you. But you wouldn't reach out and take it. Just like the governor, just like the president, who offered the pardon to the man, he would not accept it. I don't want to get to heaven and have the Lord say, son, let me show you what I made available to you, but you wouldn't accept it. All those times I put it in your heart to do this, and you didn't do it. This is what would have resulted from that. All those times that I asked you to speak to this person and you didn't. See, it wouldn't have been just him. But see, all this family over here beside him, they would have come in too. When I told you to spend some time with that young man who doesn't have a father figure, see, all these children would have been spared. When I told you to spend some time with that young girl whose mother is a crack addict and she has no one to look up to, see, she wouldn't have committed suicide. God has so much for us. And He's saying, here it is. Just take it. I'm so tired of allowing the lies of Satan to destroy the works of God. Look over here. I want y'all to look this way. Hold that precious thing up. What a gift from God. You know what? That child isn't supposed to be raised by mom and dad alone. That child is supposed to be raised by the church. How precious. How precious. What a gift. Turn to Psalms 137. I feel like here is where the church is today. When the Israelites went into captivity by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there are those who carried us away captive ask of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. That's the church. Oh, you don't know the persecution that we're going under. How can we possibly praise God when our children are killed in the streets and the schoolhouses? Oh, how can we possibly praise God when we're losing our livelihood and our jobs and we're being persecuted at every turn and we can't even say Merry Christmas anymore? That's what happened to the Israelites. You know what? When I came in here today, I didn't feel like being here. Can I say that? Is it okay in church? Can I confess? I didn't want to come. I wanted to lay up in bed. But I'm here. During the praise and the worship. You can stand here like this. You can stand here like this. You can sit in your chair. Guess what you're going to get out of it? Nada, goose egg, zero. But when you say, you know what, today, I don't care what's going on, I'm going to praise Him. Why? Because I'm worthy? No. Because I deserve it? No. Oh, because it'll cheer me up. Well, in an indirect way, yeah. Because He is worthy. And when we say, Lord, I'm going to give You the sacrifice of praise because You are worthy, Lord. So I will lift my hands to You and I will praise Your name, and to God be the glory. To God be the honor. And you know the funny thing? Before long, kind of getting into it. Yeah, looking all stupid, but who cares? Because anybody else anyway. And before long, all those cares that were weighing you down are gone. You know why they don't allow shotguns in the church house? That printer would have died this morning. That's why. Me and that printer, we don't get along. But Glenn promises he's going to fix it. Might shoot it yourself. But not during the morning service, okay? It's frustrating. It so is when you're trying to do the bulletin and boy, I mean, everything goes wrong. All right, leave the weed eater out of it, okay? No comment. I'll repent later. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. Anyway, but you know what? When I came in here and they were doing the praise and worship, that's exactly what happened. Started out like this. Before long, I was kind of getting into it. Yeah, praise God, He's worthy of it. Before long, you know what? Oh gosh, I really broke down. I even closed my eyes. Some of you next to me hearing my singing, you'd have closed your eyes too, and your ears. But still, the point is, it's about Him. And as we contribute to Him, and we lift our hands and glorify Him, He who is worthy, He who is our salvation and our rock and our fortress, He is the only one who can bring the joy of life back to us. Amen. When the world is trying to drag us down, He's the only one who can restore us. It's so easy. It's so easy to come in here on Sunday and just be worn down and beaten because the world has done it to us. But we can't make it on a one-week service. We got to get up and we got to praise Him every day and we got to read that word and say, Lord, what have you got for me today? Because I guarantee you when you read it, it's going to hit you that week. There's going to be a time where you need to know what He's talking about. And you'll be like, well, I just read that this week. Duh! Yeah, He was preparing you for that. So that when this moment came up and when that person came in and says, I can't do this anymore, you'll say, oh, but let me tell you something. The Bible told, I just read this week. It said this. That's what it said. You know what? If you'll believe in God, He's going to take care of you. He's going to meet that need. You really believe that? I do. With everything I am. How can you be so sure? Because He does it for me all the time. My God can do it. Who is bigger than my God? Who's bigger than your God? Nothing. So what can stop my God from working for me? Nothing. Now, if someone tells you that when you become a Christian, life will be great, you'll never have another problem again, get away from them. They're lying to you. But the difference is He's going to give you the strength to get through it. He's going to give you the power to get through it. I'm going to read this last Psalms and then I'll let you go. We need to understand. We just read in Psalms 137 how they quit singing and praising the Lord because they had been taken into captivity. They threw their harps in the trees and said, no more, we're not going to do it. God, is it you? I didn't know you used that dial tone. Psalms 138 says, realize right after 137, where they threw their harps in the trees, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I want to tell you something. Look at that before the gods thing right there. That's a little g. All right? That's a little g. That God could be your job. That God could be your car. That God could be your friends. But that's a little g. That's not the real thing. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Hold on. When we get weak and we get beaten down and we feel like we can't go on, back up. Look at your habits for the week. Well, you know, I couldn't pray, you know, I didn't pray like I should have on Monday, you know, because I was really busy and I had to do this before I got to work. And, well, once I got to work, oh, it's so chaotic. You should have seen it. Did you read his word that night? Well, you know, it was a really bad night because I had this meeting and we had to go, well, we had to go do this. Oh, well, okay, I had a friend that I wanted to see. What about Tuesday? Well, Tuesday was a, you know, that was a really bad night too. Wednesday? Oh, we had to stuff stockings. I couldn't do it that night. You know what I found? Every time I get down and I get discouraged, guess whose fault it is? Tim's. Because I haven't been calling on the name of the Lord, and I haven't been reading His Word the way I should. Or if I read it, it's like Evelyn Woodhead's bedridden. Okay, I'm done. Ooh, I read two chapters today. What did it say? What? What you read? Where? No, what did you read? You said you read two chapters. Uh-huh. What did it say? I don't remember. But I got to mark it off on my Bible reading chart. Who cares if you don't know what it means? Read one verse and make it apply. Make it mean something. One verse. I will praise you with all my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. How about that one? Just read that one. Psalms 138. Just read that this week. In the day when I cried out, verse 3, when the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. What does it say about that? Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. How many pagan leaders are out there in this world? What does it say they're going to do? They're going to bow down and they're going to confess. Because they know. Many of them are in the depths of hell, in a fiery furnace right now going, what did I do? But they know. They're confessing, but it's too late. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly. But the proud He knows from afar. Folks, how many of us think highly of ourselves? Nobody. Okay, it's just me. Sometimes I think a lot more of myself than I ought to. But the fact is, when we compare ourselves to God, we're nothing. We're the dirt of the earth. That's what He formed us of. That's what we are. But the fact is, He doesn't want us walking around downbeaten, downtrodden. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll just never be able to get this over with. God's just going to have to carry me through. Lift your head up. Look to the hills where your help comes from. You know what? With God, I can do a few things. All things? Yeah, surely not all things. You mean I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Not some things? Shoot, I'm running for president. Don't stoop down to be president if He's called you to be a garbage man. Follow what He wants you to do. That's where your joy comes from. It says, but the proud He knows from afar. That doesn't mean afar. That means afar, from a distance. Okay? Yeah, I know, it was bad. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Folks, listen to this. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. We know that David sang psalms to the Lord. How could he sing psalms to the Lord unless he had endured? How could he sing praises of deliverance unless he went through the difficult times? Many times we believe that we're not going to go through troubled times. We are. We're going through troubled times right now. But God says, I've got all the answers. I've got every need. And you know what, child? When you're downtrodden and discouraged, call on me. I'll give you your joy back. He doesn't want us to walk around here beat down. He wants us to be a child of God. He wants us to be a child that when people see it, they go, there's something different about you. I heard a preacher say one time, he wants to see a smile on your face that's bigger than when you're the first one in line at the steakhouse after Sunday service. I thought, man, that's just right. Sometimes you think that's what it is. Oh, we got to get out of here before the Baptist church does. You know how quick they fill the restaurants. Is it really about that? Oh, hey, first one in line. Yeah, take that, Baptist. Yeah, the big B. No, uh-uh. New Life for the Nation. No, uh-uh. No. How about glory to God? Thank you for allowing me to get here safely. I spoke of my pastor. And when I say my pastor, it's not taken from my pastor now. What would he give to have his wife back? What would he give to have a moment longer with her? What would the parents give to have a moment longer with their children? The valley of death is all around them. And I'm sure for many, they don't want to go on. But this is the time that we as Christians need to stand up and say, no, Satan, take your hands off of them. This is when we need to stand up and say, I'll stand in the gap for you. You're down, but I'm a child of God, and I'll stand in the gap for you, and I'll pray for you, and I'll ask God to lift you up and to heal your injured soul. This is where we come in. This is a time of joy, and joy comes by knowing where your strength is, and it is through Jesus Christ. We have a gift that we can give all those who are being downtrodden right now, those who are defeated, and that gift is prayer. That gift is the strength of God. What greater gift could you give someone than that? I can think of nothing. Yeah, it's about love. It's about love of your fellow man. But the truth of the matter is, when you get right down to it, it's all about Jesus. I'm going to ask you today, right where you are, just close your eyes. Think for a second. Who do you know besides those who lost their children and their family members? Who do you know who needs the peace of God right now? It may be you. It may be something inside of you that is eating you alive. There's things in my life that I've allowed to come in, and it's made me bitter, and it's not pleasing to God. And I've had to repent of that and ask God to forgive me and help me to be what He wants me to be. If you know that that situation exists for yourself or someone else, pray for them and repent for yourself. And ask God to help you to not be that way, because He wants joy for His children. Share the love of Christ, not just this time of the year, but throughout the year. If you know someone who's hurting, ask God what you should do. Pray to the Lord for guidance, and then pray in how you can make a difference. I wanted so much to do a Christmas sermon, but it wasn't meant to be. Give the gift that keeps on giving, Jesus Christ. Not only now, but throughout the year. If you have a special need, a special prayer, I'm just going to ask that you lift your hand up right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see every hand that's lifted up and you know every need. You know every pain. You know every ill thought. You know every hurt. Father, I ask now that you come into your people and you touch us. Reveal to us what you see, that we may change those things that are displeasing to you. And Lord, help us to get over the hurts of the past. Help us to have faith to place things in your hands when so often we try to control them. But most of all, Lord, help us to be better servants of the Most High God. Let us serve you in a way which is pleasing. Touch the hearts and the minds of each person here. May you be glorified, Lord. May we glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient. Continue to pray for our pastor. Pray for the Stamo family. It's going to be a long road ahead, and continue to remember those victims in Connecticut. God bless you all. May you have a blessed week. Don't forget, 2:30 at Summit Manor, we'll be passing out the stockings. Thank you again, all who contributed. God bless you.